This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Crushed by Margaret K. Bourne-Smith, the podcast about the mooning and madnesses of unrequited love. My guest today is the legendary stand-up, novelist, podcaster, truth-teller and all-round grumpy old beacon, Jenny Eclair.
Welcome.
Hi, Jenny.
Splendid,
did I get everything?
Splendid introduction, because otherwise I was going to stop you and say you can go and rewrite that out in the corridor. Come back in 20 minutes. I want twice as long.
Yeah, you were threatening to...
Yeah, we'll just have to explain to your listeners right now that you have done something quite disgusting that I don't think I've ever witnessed in a small recording space ever before. I just glanced across your side of the desk and I just thought, is that a necklace? Has she taken off a Perspex necklace or something? Because cushioned on a couple of pieces of tissue were your braces, your sort of...
My Invisalign.
Now, explain the Invisaligns and then we'll get on to crushes.
Okay, well, it's an attempt to stop the movement of my teeth because I think they're...
Are they on the side?
...coming out of my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And I figure if I let them go, then in 10 years' time, I'll... basically be a witch and be...
Okay, are they like little tumble-down cottages falling down a hill?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I like to think of them as a sort of boy band where the lead singer is getting further and further in front of the others.
I've got you. Okay,
yeah.
But like they're white. I mean, I don't think they're bad teeth at all.
You
know, they're not bad gnashes. Are mine absolutely awful?
No!
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, very bad indeed, because I've got receding gums.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, so I have to have a lot of intensive treatment.
Have you brushed them back?
I've let the plaque build up. It's better than it was. 42% plaque. It's now down to 39%. It's meant to be under 20%. Anyway, this is attractive
Jenny.
Chat. Here we go.
You insisted on shaming me for my teeth.
Yeah.
Jenny.
Yeah, what?
Have you ever been prone to crushes?
Was in my youth. I'm not doing it anymore. It's unattractive. I think I'm 62 and I'm dead from the waist down. I'm chalk.
Okay.
Chalk from the waist down. Completely and utterly chalk. I'm not interested.
Genuinely don't fancy anyone?
This is a terrible thing to admit.
And it's all dust.
Okay. Yes, it's all... It's like talcum powder when I walk. I watched Harry Styles with the country and western singer on Coachella. Does that count? And I got a bit hot. I had to take my cardigan off.
I watched the CBeebies bedtime story with Harry Styles, and my son is a little bit too old for CBeebies.
To sit next to Mummy on the sofa.
Yeah, I've checked and
while she wriggles. Was Mummy wriggling on the sofa? It's disgusting.
Steaming.
Poor son. How old is he? 14 or something?
He's seven.
Oh, no, that's all right for a bedtime story with Mummy and Harry Styles.
But I've checked and we're not allowed to fancy Harry Styles.
Okay, who says?
Okay, if you...
Well, probably Harry Styles, if he's got anything to do with it. I mean, the last thing he wants, really, is all these old biddies going, oh, Harry Styles!
Clawing at his pyjamas.
Yeah. Oh, Harry Styles, easy pull-off pyjamas. Oh, I'd like to see those in a puddle on the floor. I don't really mean any of this, obviously. Yeah. I'm just showing off.
It's half your age plus 7.
Okay, I'll try and work that. So 31 plus 7. I'm only allowed to fancy... people of 38 and over, is it? 38 and over.
Okay. So mine are a bit younger than that, obviously. So.
Why would you say that? What an extraordinary... I'm very
rude. You just said you were all dust.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so I'm not allowed Harry Styles. Right, there's nobody.
Nobody.
I really genuinely don't... So, honestly, I'm really worried because I think that when I was very young, I mean, I remember the first time I was ever aware of some kind of sort of...
Stirrings.
I don't think it was a what?
A stirring.
A sort of sexuality thing. I think I was watching Paul Newman in a film when I was about 8 or 9, and the next thing I knew, I'd taken all my clothes off. Not all of them entirely, but I'd taken my shoes and my socks off, and you know, I was sort of gradually, you know, undoing buttons and things. It was like a reaction.
Were you in the cinema?
No. That would have been marvellous. I was definitely at home, and but I was by myself. So there was, there was something about, and obviously he was a very beautiful man.
Yeah.
And
what was the film? Can you remember?
No, I can't remember. You know, I'd have known once upon a time. I can't remember anything. I can't retain any information.
I'm glad you
just
remembered
have to
his
guess
name.
Things. I'll tell you the other one. I know another name that very, very early on. I didn't have television when I was growing up because my dad was in the army and I grew up for a chunk of my time in Berlin. So we got back to England and got the first thing we did was get a telly. You know, and so we were in Barnet Castle, which is quite cold. So you stay indoors and watch telly. And I was just, it's the first time I'd ever seen Top of the Pops. I think this would have been about 68. Yeah.
And so around the Paul Newman time?
Yeah, that it was around that time, possibly a little bit before. And it was something... Now, you're going to go blank on me with this. I talked to a young man yesterday in a pub and I mentioned Bovril and he looked really, 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 really blank. So I'm going to throw Peter Noon at you.
Oh.
No, look at your little
no,
blank
hold,
face.
No, hold on.
Herman's Hermits.
Yeah, I was getting there.
Now,
he was
a chap that looked like he needed dental braces.
I was going to say,
he was a bit toothy. He was toothy and wholesome.
Looks a bit like he's got a built-up shoe, maybe.
Oh, now, why would you say that? Why would you say that the first love of my life, that, like, he had a built-up shoe? Didn't have a built-up shoe whatsoever.
Sorry.
He had a thatch
maybe
of blonde hair.
The way he was dancing, I don't know.
He wasn't a dancer, Peter.
No.
He was good on...
A thatch of blonde hair?
A thatch of blonde hair, yeah. I want to bring... we're down in a basement, so I don't think I can bring up a picture of Peter Noon on my phone for you. Because I think you'd fall in love.
How old was he? He's probably too young...
I think he's dead now. This is the other thing that's happened to me, is all the people I fancied as a younger woman are mostly dead.
Well, I suppose that would put you off.
Yeah, yeah. The only one still alive that
apart
I used
from
to
Harry
fancy
Styles.
That, of my generation that, you know, you fancied when you were a teenager, Rod Stewart.
Oh, OK.
I always think he might get round to me one day.
I think he might. He's doing his best, isn't he?
Doing all the blondes.
Blonde bombshells.
But he's kept this last one, hasn't he? Penny Lancaster. He's kept that one. He's kept her in his train set and now he's happy.
Do you know he's filling potholes in his local
It's all right, Rod.
Streets.
You know.
I think, it's the first... Like, the train's fine. But the potholes, I did start to find him more attractive.
Yeah. It's like useful with a spade.
Yeah,
and
just
with
sort
a spade.
Of getting away. He said the council just wouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, shame the council.
Yeah so
and
he
do it in a silk
out.
Shirt undone to the waist and really tight
do
jeans
you,
and wiggle
have you
his
seen
arse
him recently?
A bit.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks like me. I mean, we all morph
this
into
is
all
each other. Narcissism.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, I do. I only really fancy people who look a bit like me. So, Peter
yes,
Noon.
Yes, Thatcher blonde hair. Peter
Thatcher
Noon.
Blonde hair.
I can't
good
see
on
the
close
Paul Newman.
Up. No, Paul Newman was a fine boned man, very
yeah,
fine boned.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been fine boned in my life. And I used to snog the television screen.
Oh, you see, and that's dangerous in those days.
Yeah, it was. The cathode ray days, you sort of get a little bit of a frisson, electrical frisson from the television. I think I quite liked that.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed when I kissed my first bloke and I didn't get a slight electric shock.
Oh, my God, amazing. That's what maybe that is what people think chemistry
is
actually just...
Getting a mild electric shock every time you kiss somebody. So a lot of slobbering all over the TV for Peter Noon.
Were you on your own for this as well?
Yeah, I was left to my own devices quite a lot because I was quite annoying. So, you know when people say, why can't you cook? And, you know, why didn't you learn to cook? And did your mum not let you in the kitchen? Did you not learn to cook with your mum? My mum wouldn't let me and my sister in the kitchen. She was so sick of us both.
Yeah.
She just used to shut the door and go, no, go away.
Yeah.
Leave me to my own devices. She didn't want us there.
No, it's fair enough.
Yeah.
We just used to ask what was for dinner.
Yeah.
Just sort of constantly.
Yeah.
And then forget the answer.
Yeah.
And
then ask
again.
Then sort of if she said poached pears and pudding, go, ugh, not poached pears.
I have a friend who refuses to tell her children what's for dinner.
I don't blame her. I think it's really good. Make it a guessing game.
Yeah, even once it's presented.
And then,
I don't know.
Them at the table. Just say you never know. You never know. Not unless you develop your own taste buds, in which case you might be able to guess. But I'm not telling you.
Right, so 8 or 9, Paul Newman, Peter Noon.
Yeah.
And what do they have in common? What is the
Christian names begin with P?
Sure, and they look a bit like you. No, except for Paul Newman. This isn't. So what was it? Do you remember what? I mean, obviously, they are sort of designed to be attractive to women, aren't they? Movie stars.
I think that particularly with Peter Noon, he was very much the boy next door as opposed to Mick Jagger. I was too young to fancy Mick Jagger.
Yes,
you can't fancy
Mick.
That's a bit advanced. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like sort of climbing mountains. You've got to start with a small hill.
Yes. And someone who doesn't look like they have genitals.
Yeah. A bit sort of one on from a Barbie, really.
Yeah.
So that was Peter Noon. He was, he was inoffensive and all that sort of thing. And then obviously as I got older, well, I was a proper teeny bopper in the 70s, yes, because I was born in 1960, 15 years before you were, so I win.
staying alive is the competition now, Jenny.
Yeah. And I might not make it to the end of the podcast, don't know. Hold on, I'm just taking my shoes off.
Oh, that'd be a real coup for me.
Wouldn't it? God.
I'm still putting it out.
You'd probably get 3 inches in The Guardian. And you might get a few extra listeners just for this one.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it,
Oh, totally, I may kill you now.
Later on, I was exactly the right and ripe age for teeny bopper fandom.
Yeah.
Which I think was 74, really. 73, 74, 75. And then at 15, you really had to grow out of it and lose your virginity and get on with your real life.
Not where I was.
Oh, really? I remember I'm a 1970s slag.
Yeah,
so,
the
you
classic
know, even
slag.
Nice girls were allowed to be sort of promiscuous.
Yeah.
Because our parents had no idea, absolutely none whatsoever. And my mother's got dementia now, so even if she heard this by accident,
she'd forget.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't know who you were, even.
Absolutely.
It's very dark.
It's just silly tart. It was the Bay City. Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
Went through a Donny Osmond phase, but I don't know whether you've ever had this, Margaret. Did you have a streak of cynicism in you as a child?
Yes, and my daughter does, and I'm really sad about it. I really feel like, oh, but I was totally. Yeah,
it spoils everything. So did you have to pretend quite a lot of the time to be in tune with all the other girls in the class?
A bit, yeah. Well, you know, or just accept that
I
was a loner.
Yeah.
No, because I found my tribe. But you're right, at school, they all wanted bros and I couldn't.
You couldn't go there.
Understand it at all. Yeah.
I do remember seeing bros down Neil Street in Covent Garden at the height of that mania.
Yeah, screaming.
And the absolute screaming and the very youngness of the girls. As to me, I was probably sort of, in my 20s by this point, I would have been. And so, just thinking, God, that's absolutely crazy. And then, of course, I did exactly the same with the Bay City Rollers.
Yeah.
My favourite one, because, of course, it's a bit like Mattel dolls, isn't it? Everyone's got a favourite.
So they weren't related to each other, or they were?
Who?
The Bay City Rollers.
What madness. Oh, two of them were.
There you go.
Okay. The Longmuir brothers. Yes, all right.
There we go.
Alan and Derek.
So, yeah, no,
I think one of them was up on the charge.
Alan and Derek.
Can you imagine? All right, my dad was called Derek.
It's not a glamorous name.
It's not one of those ones that's going to suddenly become really fashionable, like Freddie or Bertie
sexy.
Or all that. No, Derek. It's not happening. And Alan.
Oh, worse.
No, and of course, so I liked Eric, who was the one with the fattest head. I just reminded myself.
Fattest?
He had the fattest head.
Hair.
Yeah, he had big hair. I think I liked big hair because Peter Noon had a big thatch of yellow hair. And then Eric from Bay City Rollers had a big thatch of black hair, like a busby.
Yeah.
It looked like he was wearing
a
busby. Yeah. Big, thick crash helmet of hair.
Doesn't it make you think, what are you hiding?
No, I just thought, what a lovely head of hair. I've just reminded myself of a terrible joke I did about Take That when they were sort of at their height. I was just doing stand-up and they had their dolls out. I said, my favourite doll is Gary. And basically the joke was about, because he was the biggest one to masturbate with. It was a terrible joke. It's the girth. It's the girth of Gary. Yeah. So very satisfying. I just reminded myself. I've changed. Bay City Rose. I went to see them in at Preston Town Hall.
Oh, I think I've played Preston Town Hall.
Well done, you.
It's not
easy to fill, love. It's not easy to fill. I've done Preston at Town Hall and they've had to rope bits off. Do you know what I mean? When they say, oh, we just brought the curtains in from the back. Basically meaning we've sort of taken out the balcony and the circle and we've just left you with the stalls.
Yeah. In fact, I saw Mark Owen doing the same thing at Shepherd's Bush Empire. Quite a lot of curtainage.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean,
the
I go...
curtain of shame.
Yeah, I go beyond curtain of shame sometimes. Right, you go and you go, you're booked for the big room. We've decided it's been quite slow. We're going to pop you in the foyer. You know, so you could just stand over there in the corner and shout, really.
Yeah, it's better than, I don't know, taking them in your car on the way home.
Going round to the only person in the audience's house.
Yeah.
Doing a private audience with. So, yeah, I went to Preston... thingy.
And did you scream?
I scream my head off.
Well, because the music's not up to much, is it?
You have to drown them out. You do have to drown them out.
I never thought of that as a tactic, but it's actually really...
And the bass is Rollers, God love them.
But
it was every song was exactly the same. So
yeah.
it was Shang-a-lang, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da. It was just everything was the same. You had to do the dance.
Stomping.
Stomping. Yeah. And you did a stomping dance, which is like a grapevine dance. And you practiced in the girls' toilets at school. And I was very clever. And I thought, I can get backstage. I know how to get backstage.
Oh.
Because I saw what was happening. Girls were running to the front right and they were getting a bit sort of crushed at the front by the barrier and they were fainting. And what was happening was they were being carried
scooped up
by St John's ambulance men and taken down the side corridor backstage. I thought,
But they weren't being taken backstage,
They were being taken to the corridor, to the side of the stage and put in a recovery position thing. So, you know, they were just being laid out, basically, you know, because they fainted.
Really traumatic.
No, I know. Well, you know.
It's a World War battlefield.
Well, I know, but it was like that. It was Preston, sort of Guildhall, whatever.
Preston in the 70s.
Yeah, in
very
the
70s. Similar.
Yeah. So girls were passing out and they were being left to recover and given glasses of water down the side corridor. And I was never a stupid girl. I thought, I can get there. I can get in the side corridor. And I'm quite sweaty and I can wriggle out of anybody's hands. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to find their dressing rooms. I'm going to hide in a wardrobe or something like that, wait till they get off stage. And then I'm going to jump out and I'm going to kiss Eric. So I went down to the front, pretended to faint. And
how old were you at this point?
14. 14.
Yeah, classic.
What happened next? I can't remember. But I know it didn't work.
See, but what do you remember being scooped up?
Were I don't think I was
taken...
scooped up.
Oh,
I don't think they bothered to scoop. I think they might have seen through me. They left me.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got home, my mum was very cross with me because I was very sweaty, and I sweated so much. I sweated right through my. I had this duck egg blue. It had a massive high waistband because that was the style, and it was an A-line skirt, and it was pale duck egg blue, and I'd crushed myself up against the barriers which had rust on them, and the rust had transferred my mum was very cross.
Yeah, that's so the opposite of
and my friend Rosemary Craig fantasy. Lost her watch because she got in a bundle at the front and all this. We were in a right mess.
Did you ever find out what happened to the girls in the recovery position? Whether they, because
I might have made that up, Margaret, I'm not sure.
No, but the girls that you did see going backstage.
Yeah, they all recovered. There were no casualties that day.
No, I understand, but did any of them?
No, none of them did.
Do you think any of them?
No, none of them. None of them were as cunning. No, none of them were as cunning as me.
Yeah.
You
say that. You're the one with rust all over your dress. You didn't even get into the bloody corridor.
No, what I do is I take a half-truth. I'm never quite sure whether it's a truth or not. And then I often use it in fiction, right?
Yeah.
So in this...
But you know this isn't fiction, this
what?
Podcast.
Oh, OK, so, yeah. All right, I know, but there's no such thing as real, is there?
No.
And so I've recently written, and I don't know why I'm even telling you, because you're not really the right demographic. Oh, what a waste of time this is.
I'm so sorry. Have
you got any
listening?
15-year-olds. I've written a young adult fiction.
Oh, well, my daughter's 13.
Oh,
perfect. Too young.
I think she's quite wise, isn't she?
In some ways she is. Why? What are you writing for thick 13?
No. It's just quite. There are adult, some adult-ish themes. themes.
Oh, no, she likes some adult themes.
It only gets to snogging. There's nothing beyond snogging.
No, that's fine.
Okay. It's called The Writing on the Wall. And it's... Can I just briefly tell you about
it?
Okay, it's a little time travel piece, really. So it's a girl, a nowadays girl, right, called Hermione. And her mum's got this new boyfriend and he's asked them to go and live with him in his big house in the north of England. So she's uprooted from her council flat in Camberwell. And she goes to live in this big house. And the bloke, who she doesn't really like, her mum's new boyfriend, says, oh, you can decorate your bedroom, right, to try and make her a bit happy because she's being a miserable cow. And so she starts tearing off the wallpaper and there's a message on the wall from a 15-year-old girl, exact same age as her, who lived there in 1975. Well, anyway, there's some time travel shenanigans and they become best friends for the summer. And then the nowadays girl's walking through a graveyard and she sees her best friend's grave and she's got 3 days to live. Can she save her life? What do you reckon?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
How can we make that about crushes?
I don't know. Oh, well, they all have crushes because they are
15.
That,
they're
15. So it's all that sort of, you know, who they fancy and all that sort of thing. So there's loads of crushes. And I might as well, I should have just called the book The Crush.
The Crush, exactly.
Yeah, but
tie
I didn't.
It all up. No, too late.
Okay, but that's where, what I'm trying to say is that often with me, I remember a half-truth or a sort of half-buried memory that nearly happened to me or almost did. And I recreate it for fiction. So there'd be things that didn't quite happen to me, but nearly happened to me, that will appear in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does that
confuses me.
Interfere with your real memories.
Yeah, sometimes
not sure.
I'm not quite sure whether I did get off with certain people that I, you know. I got off with a lot of people because I was a snogger. I was a teenage snogger. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
And was that just sort of indiscriminate?
Very, very.
But were there boys, like real life boys, that you had a crush on?
Always, yes. I mean, you know.
And did you get them?
Yeah. I think, you know, I went to an all-girls school, so most lessons were really spent writing down boys' names.
Yep.
And then passing notes around. So I fancy Gaz, Baz, Daz, Maz,
Derek
Chaz.
And Alan.
Yeah, Derek and Alan. Gordon and Pete, you know.
Who were the boys that you knew then, if you were at girls' school?
Well...
They made up as well, Jenny.
They were real boys. It was quite hard because I had an older sister who was useless and should have been, you know, I was very jealous of girls in my class who had older brothers. Because,
oh, same.
Well, you know, it's useless
just
having...
their friends around.
Absolutely, yeah. Because they had a ringside seat, didn't they?
Yes.
You know, because their brothers would bring mates around and, you know...
Perfect.
You could just get off with them while they, you know, were on the stairs and all that kind of thing. En route
is
to the bathroom.
Is this based on reality? just grabbing brothers' friends on the way to the bathroom.
That's what I'd have done.
Yeah.
If I'd, so it was a very good job. My little brother was far too... He was 7. When I was about 15, he's 7 years younger than me. So useless, you know, hopeless. I mean, just a child. useless child.
Useless
I think
child.
he's about 55 now. He's still a useless child.
Yeah, but it's funny, isn't it? When you are a teenager, you get a bit... I mean, I remember walking past some teenagers recently with a buggy and I was just like, they literally can't see me. They can't see me. They're so wrapped up in their world, in their teenage world, that everything else is just might as well be a mist.
They can see you because you're 10 stone of woman. Well, probably 9.5.
But they care
but they,
so little. I'm not
We're not
a
invisible.
Boy,
we're just ignored.
You know?
Yeah. That's what I say in my stand-up show, because there is this myth that middle-aged women are invisible. Mm. Oh, if it were. Can you imagine how much stuff we'd be nicking? you know, if we could suddenly go invisible around the Clarins counter. But not, we're not invisible, we're just ignored. And I do tell the audience why this is a very great thing.
To be ignored?
Yeah, to be ignored.
Okay.
But you have to come to see the show for that. That's 20 quid. That's 20 quid. What's wrong with you?
All right. I'll come up the front and I'll try faint.
I want you to run screaming down the front. Wouldn't it be great if people behave?
Throwing my knickers at you. I mean, what would you do if I threw my... You would be very disparaging about my knickers.
I'd probably be disparaging. I think they'd probably be a terrible... Yeah, I'm not... I know that there's the world of women divide, doesn't it, between those with nice pants and those of us whose underwear looks like lost property.
Are you a lost property girl?
I'm
not wasting my nice pants on you.
No, I know. You'd handpick a terrible pair.
Exactly. I'll bring some old ones.
Do you think that's what used to happen to the Beatles? I'd like to throw my knickers at the Beatles, but these are really good and they've got a frill on them and I've only put them in the wash twice.
There will have been some sensible girls.
There would have been.
I
yeah.
I have a friend who loved Ryan Giggs when she's a bit younger than me. Loved Ryan Giggs, and she sent him a pair of pants in the post.
Yeah.
And she clean new yeah. pair of pants. She kissed the gusset before she
with lipstick them. With lipstick on.
Oh, I don't know. I must ask her that,
because it could have looked a bit like a period stain by the time it got there. You know, a little bit. It might have bled out a bit into just a
yeah,
blotch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing he never saw them anyway. I don't think.
Yeah,
that
you'd
they
hope
do
that someone was intervening for Ryan Giggs. That was. But I do remember those crushes at school that people did like footballers.
Yeah,
and I can't remember who they were,
well,
because
who
I
in
was
the 70s. Yeah, would that
they
be?
Were just not people that I was remotely interested
no.
in, because that never did it for me. It was always pop stars. So it was, and then after, you know, you have to sort of go through these phases, don't you? And at 15, you realise that you can't be a teeny bopper anymore.
Yeah,
and so you have to sort of switch your attentions, and then it became
to reality.
Both things. What I was looking for was a lad who lived locally that looked like David Bowie. That's what I really wanted. You know, you want that mix.
Yeah, not many of them around.
There were very, very few. I found one eventually.
Did you?
Yeah, that became a relationship when I was 17. I found one that was a bit, you know, from a distance in a fog.
I know, but then if you have a relationship, you can't spend the whole time in a fog in the distance.
No, but he did have
did
elements
you shut your
of,
eyes?
Yeah, he was good. He was one that, you know, you have five loves of your life.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
I'm
well,
behind.
two, your mum and dad. Are you allowed the kids on the list if you're really struggling? do you know what I mean? And of course, the partner goes on and off that list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, during the day.
Just you can love them, can't you? You can love them, love them, love them, and sometimes you think
they're really
you
annoying.
Fucking arsehole. You know, what's your problem? You just go, Jeff. What kind of name is that then?
I mean, Jeff is
yeah, it's quite difficult,
yeah,
isn't
so
it?
It's, I mean, yeah. It's not as bad as Derek, I'd say.
Well, so it's one up from.
Do you ever have a did you have a crush on Jeff?
When I saw Jeff, that was the peculiar thing. I said I was waitressing in Covent Garden, outside in a place attractively named the Crusting Pipe. And it had...
Why were you only allowed outside?
Well, it was a summertime opening thing,
okay.
In Covent Garden, in the piazza, actually,
nice.
In the actual piazza.
The opera.
This is 1982. And so I had this, and it was a seasonal job, and I didn't realise that. I just turned up one day and they weren't open. It was too cold. It was like October. You haven't got a job anymore. Okay, right. So anyway,
is that one of your real memories?
Yeah, that is. No,
more
that
like
is. Ish. You know, I was probably told but didn't listen.
Yeah.
And Jeff came in, and I had seen him. We lived on the same road. It's quite. It's not really complicated, but I'd moved down from Manchester to London because I was meant to be being turned into a pop star by some Manchester mafia people.
Oh wow!
It was all quite awkward because I went along with it. Until they got me in the studio, and then at the last minute there was this terrible crashing realization that I could not sing at all, not
did
at all.
Did you know that?
I had
like, were you...
yes, I had an inkling. But there's always a slight streak of optimism
you've got
in you.
I know. I was going to say you've got
do you
a
sometimes
real
think where you think just I'm going to open my mouth one day and the
it's
singing voice
well.
Will come
it's
out.
Go well.
Yeah, yeah, never has. And it certainly didn't then. And what they wanted me to do was a remake of The Kinks, So Tired of Waiting. So they were in this, and I was like a studio like this with loads of people, though, on the other side of the glass
God,
with all the
like
knobs twitching.
Oh,
I really now my armpits are prickling, and you know, I'm coming out, and it was like, so tired, tired of waiting for you. I've got no musicality in my voice whatsoever. And they thought, I think for a second, she's taking the piss, she's having a laugh. And then it was this, no, there's not. I had to run away from Manchester. So I
because of that.
Yes, it was. So I came,
wow.
I had a very bad eating disorder as well. So came down to London and I was very unhappy for a while living in this bedsit. And then I got a room in a flat with a very beautiful black girl called Ruth Jackson. And she was married to Joe Jackson, who was a pop star.
Oh, my God.
Don't you know that it's different for girls? I'd sing it for you, but I'd ruin
it.
You
mean,
know,
yeah,
you'd have to
no
start
musicality.
Screaming to drown it out, you know.
So, no, I'm just a fan, Jenny. I'm just a fan.
Right, so
we promised Jack we wouldn't scream.
He's not listening. He's playing something else on his other computer. Anyway, I moved in with Joe Jackson's wife. He was on tour in America for like quite a few months. And it was just Ruth, and she was lonely, and she had this big Persian cat called Riptorn. So it was me, Riptorn, and Ruth for a bit. And I also had this job in a wine bar in Camberwell. I had the daytime one in the in Covent Garden, mm-hmm. and the nighttime one in Camberwell, which for 5 seconds had a posh wine bar called Bartholomew's Wine Bar. Cliff Richard came in once. I wasn't on shift. Anyway.
Now, I know that story's real because it's rubbish.
I know. I came out of my flat, which I lived with Ruth, and I was going to my Covent Garden job, and I passed him by, and at the time he had an antique racing Porsche, right, and he was underneath it, tinkering with the underneath of the car, and he couldn't get underneath a Porsche now. Seriously. He'd be really wedged. So anyway, we sort of gave each other what I call the glad eye. And he, I think he followed me one day, which sounds a bit stalkery. Anyway,
yeah,
he
in those
came,
days, it was just
it was
romance,
all right in those
it?
Days. Yeah. Yeah. So he came into the wine bar in Covent Garden. He said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm being a waitress for my sins." And he said, "Would you like to meet for a drink tonight?" I said, "I'm in the other wine bar tonight." And he came to the other wine bar that night. And for a long time, and I don't know whether we've still got it somewhere in a box, I kept the bill from that very first.
Oh.
I've been costing him money from the day we met. And it sort of, it starts with, you know, he comes in and I'm his waitress. So I write down one glass of frascati. So he's having a glass of frascati and he has pâté and frippre, pâté and French bread. And then rather tellingly, at the end, it goes one bottle of house frascati to go. So obviously we take a bottle
lovely.
Of wine back to his place.
That is an amazing story just from that little receipt, isn't it?
Well,
that you see the whole evening.
You have the evening,
out.
And he didn't leave. Basically, he could have bolted after the pâté and frippre, but he hung around for me to lock up and all that, and we took a bottle of wine out with us. And
but you see, that was very much not a crush, wasn't it? Because you
it was
gave
a mature full time relationship
immediately
continues to this day.
Exactly, and I think that the issue with crushes is they very rarely work out. Like, do you have any? I know you have your David Bowie showing off.
Yeah, I never managed to get off with David Bowie.
But you had your David Bowie
look-alike. Yes, yeah.
Was there anyone that you didn't get?
Countershop David Bowie. No, he was really nice bloke. Was there anybody I didn't manage
that you pined after?
Not particularly. To be quite honest. I think that. I'm really trying to think. No, nobody ever really broke. Oh, well, actually, the Pound Shop David Bowie. I'm not calling him Pound Shop David Bowie. It's really, that's just me.
M&S. Bowden then.
Okay, the Filed Coast's answer to David Bowie.
Okay.
Farco's answer to David Bowie, sort of, we did have a proper relationship. He did kind of break my heart because. I was still at school and he was 22 and he just couldn't. He was in between jobs, relationships, all sorts of things, and had ended up back at his parents. And obviously, you know, any sane 22-year-old can't hack that for very long. Mm-hmm. So he left me while I was doing my A-levels and went to stay with his brother, who was quite a successful actor in London, still a successful actor. Ooh. And yes. And
go on, tell me.
Well, I know it's not. I can't.
Oh,
won't,
right,
no.
All
but
right.
You know, I know that. I think he met Kate Bush, and I think there was slightly more than just a meeting. And obviously, I fell by the wayside.
I mean, there's no shame in that.
I was slightly chucked for anyway.
Chucked for Kate Bush.
You know,
why haven't you written that?
Well,
memoir?
Why didn't I go to her pop concert and just scream all the way?
You stole my boyfriend. Your trouble is you don't want to drown out Kate Bush.
Yeah,
it would
well,
be
it's
a waste.
Hard. It's hard because I've got her low-pitched scream as well because I've got quite low, big larynx for a woman. So she'd still be like a dog whistle, isn't she? I'd be like droning, and she'd be piping her little high-pitched
voice. Definitely be dragged out into
the corridor. I might throw my knickers at her with a great big pair of, because I do the long line knickers now because my knickers are quite big. They're a bit like a parachute.
Apple catchers.
Well, they're bigger than that. They're long line. Yeah. Yeah, you can get them off Amazon. What happens when you wear a very baggy pair of dungarees, for example, if you're chubbier of thigh, your tops of your legs might rub a little bit to get a chub rub.
Yeah.
So I wear a long line knicker. They're quite attractive. It's like a long john, short long john. Do you see what I mean? With a lace trim. And
I mean, it's an image.
Yeah, but when you drop them in a toilet, you just think, they're big, aren't they? You know, if you were on a flight and you needed a parachute, you'd be all right.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of unrequited love and crushes on... No, not really.
So once you got to your... You know, once you were like, oh, I can't be a teeny bopper anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You were like, this all has to be real.
Yeah, I have to go through as many boys as I possibly can in the local area.
So you were just basically fancying someone, approaching them wherever they were, on the way to the bathroom, in the supermarket.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go to discos and snog 7 boys in a night.
Yeah.
It was those kind of days. And I think
that doesn't allow you time, does it, for the fantasy to build up? Or were you just not interested in that?
I'm not sure. I think that I was very... I liked instant gratification.
Yeah.
Instant gratification of a snog. I really liked snogging different boys and seeing who I thought was the best snogger. You know, it was sort of taste test and challenging and that sort of thing. I was quite critical of that.
Wow.
And, you know, I was quite demanding as well, I think. I don't know, it was just... I was quite shallow and I didn't really think very deeply about anything. That came later. And I only had quite a small window, really, when you think about it, because I met Jeff when I was 22. And
I
said, it's 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I haven't had crushes.
No. Well, let's talk about them then.
The other ones, will Jeff be listening?
Probably not.
No. You know, why would you listen to a podcast? Two women yattering on. Jesus Christ. We do listen to stuff together.
Yeah.
We listen to Agatha Christie books at bedtime because, you know, if we can't sleep or we're feeling a bit anxious, especially if they're narrated by a man called Hugh Fraser. I've got a sort of crush on his voice. I mean, I think he's got a delicious voice. I'm just trying to think of sort of people who I fancy now on the telly. I know I'm meant to fancy Monty Don.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, women of my age, it's kind of one of the rules. You're meant to fancy Monty Don. And I think he's gone a bit peevish. I was watching him on the flower show last night and he started slagging off a garden. I thought he was peevish.
Irritable isn't a very attractive
quality. Yeah, slightly sort of, you know, that small, petty sort of things like
the thing is,
when I fancy somebody, or I don't really fancy them, but I just sort of become obsessed with them. I really loved The Sopranos.
Yes.
During lockdown. So I don't think I fancied James Gandolfi. James Gandolfi.
Gandolfini.
Yeah, that's a fella. But I turned into him kind of thing. I was you know, I did a lot of slobbing around the house in a soiled, toweling robe.
Amazing.
So I sort of, I inhabit the world of. I love gangster movies.
Yeah.
That is my thing. I don't think they really turn me on. It's very difficult to turn me on these days.
Oh, I mean, I like a challenge.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean,
I've gone badly with the teeth, haven't I? I've really
taking the braces out. I don't know what you're going to do. All I'm going to tell you is I've got my big, chunky, long-line knickers on, so if you're thinking of trying to get into them, you're going to have to have a bit of a fight on your hands.
We might have to abandon this.
Would you mind?
The seduction
just put
elements.
On. Women. I occasionally have crushes on women. Mm. And I will occasionally meet women where it's not that I want to snog them, but I do feel a sexual sort of magnetism certain women.
But that's interesting, isn't it? Because that is one of those things where it's just not about the reality. It's just about a spark that has... I mean, I just think it's very good for you.
Okay, so who have you got a current crush on?
Apart from Harry Styles in his pyjamas, who I'm not allowed to fancy.
Yeah, it's really... Poor Harry. You know, in my stand-up show, I do this thing. It's called Bucket List Dreams, and people at the interval can put into a bucket on a piece of paper their bucket list dream, you know. And quite a lot of those do feature Harry Styles. One woman just wrote...
It's all-encompassing.
Yeah, I'd like to climb Harry Styles like a tree. And I just got this, you know, you can't help but get a visual impression of sort of a chunky middle-aged woman just climbing Harry Styles.
I know.
Poor Harry Styles.
The tree thing is he'd have to stay standing, and that's a difficult thing. You'd climb him like a log.
14 stone of sweaty menopausal
clamping
woman.
Clamping down.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The interesting thing, you know, I have a crush on an American stand-up called John Mulaney.
Okay.
Who... And what's interesting is that he has recently done some things that are not, you know.
Okay.
Then they're not that attractive. He's let us down a bit. He's let us down a bit. And he very much used to be a wife guy. That was his big sort of persona. Someone who, you know, really loved his wife and talked about her a lot on stage.
Yeah,
and,
that's always a bit of a giveaway, isn't it?
It's
a cover, isn't it?
But it's interesting.
It's a bit of a cunt, yeah.
I was talking to a friend about it, and she was like, how do you still fancy him? And I was like, it's changed. When I was younger, when I was sort of... The purity of my crushes when I was a teenager, they had to do everything right. Because I was imagining being with them, you know, sort of living my life. They were really, really held up. Now I'm much more forgiving generally. I don't know him. I'm sure I'd forgive him if I knew him as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The reality is now, yeah, I fancy him. I fancy him and I really like his work. So I have that level of crush. It's not a... Oh my God, if you say one wrong thing, then my world is destroyed.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I think for me, when I was younger, I would go off somebody, I would fancy somebody, and then I'd see them in the wrong pair of shoes, or they'd say a word in the wrong way, or they had a horrible belt on, and then that would be it.
Oh,
it was
fizzled.
Just over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally and utterly over.
Yeah. No, and that is so... true. And I think that is because the crush is so pure. It's a
you've spoiled it, and they've spoiled it because
you're writing them, basically. You're sort of, you know, you're looking at them and you're writing everything they think, you know. Even if you're sort of you're writing the relationship that you're having, you're doing his voice and your voice.
I don't think I was ever such a crushy as
really
you know. I think I was a teenage dirtbag and just snogged a lot of boys, then got an eating disorder and went off sex entirely and utterly for about 3 years.
Wow.
And just didn't do anything. And then, you know, that gradually reawoke and I met Jeff and then, you know, in passing, there'll be occasionally, even on the street. I was at the bus stop today because obviously you don't get cars to this job. And I was at the 176.
I mean, nor do I.
Who does? I was at the 176 bus stop and a man jogged by. Now, normally I don't like joggers. They get on my nerves.
Oh, yeah.
Really do. But this one, a very attractive man. And he smiled at me as he jogged by. And I thought, no, I'll smile back. And I smiled back at him. It was a lovely moment. There was a nice lad in the lad I mentioned Bovril to in the pub yesterday. And he had braces on. He was a very nice looking chap. And he was, you know, I was making him laugh. I think
it's
for me...
It's just enjoyable, isn't it?
If I make someone laugh, then, you know, it triggers that sort of memory of sort of getting off with people.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you can't
it's
smoke.
Flirty.
In the olden days, you know, you just used to go up to someone and say, have you got a light? And then you'd look them in the eye. And then by the time they gave you a light, you're probably snogging them.
I mean, that's a difficult thing with a fag in your mouth as well, isn't it?
It's very complicated.
A lot of fag burns.
Yeah. But it was...
That's my modus operandi, I think, was
asking people for lights.
I think you have, a directness about you that I frightened
quite a lot of people, to be quite honest.
Frightened them into snogging.
Yeah. I was a snog monster.
I mean, that'll be the title of this episode. All right, look, well, so I need... Your biggest crush, the name of your biggest crush, because I'm going to do, I don't know if you know about this, Jenny. I know you spent a lot of time writing down the names of boys.
Yeah.
And we did that as well. But what we did was worked out, we did this maths with their names.
Is it an algorithm?
L's, O's, V's, E's and S's. It's not as advanced as an algorithm.
Is it an early algorithm?
Yes, let's call it an early algorithm. So should I use your name or should I use your real name? I mean...
Oh, that's really complicated, isn't it?
How old were you? Right, so tell me who the crush is, your biggest crush. Like, when I say, have you ever had a crush on someone, what's the name that comes into your head?
Elvis Presley.
Okay, well,
no idea
Elvis Presley.
Why.
Elvis Presley. Well, I mean, you aim high. That's what we've discovered about you. I'm going to do Jenny Eclair.
Okay. Because this isn't the real world, is it?
No, very much not. Okay. I don't know what you think you've been doing.
Yeah, but there is a new biopic out about Elvis Presley, and apparently it's absolutely brilliant. It's Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, wow.
So when, and I already know that I'm going to have a crush on the person playing Elvis Presley.
You're getting ready for that.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for that one. And anticipating.
Well.
He's Australian. Oh, fucking hell, he's not 38 or over.
So this, you will get a percentage.
Okay. Is this my chance of getting off with him?
Yeah.
It's
your compatibility.
Elvis is dead. We'll talk about the young actor, the young Australian actor who's playing Elvis Presley. Yeah, that's my new crush, Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. Do you want me to do the maths for that?
Yes. Because Elvis Presley is dead. Don't be ridiculous.
I'm so sorry.
I'm quite excited by this, and I don't know why. My heart's kind of started to beat.
Well, this could be the beginning of a whole new... Well, there's no O's, no V's. It's 59%.
Is that something to do with the fact that he lives on the opposite side of the world?
Isn't aware you exist.
What?
No, you're right. He probably does know. I'm sure he's a big fan.
No, his nan might like me. It's one of those things, isn't it? Oh, bloody hell. That's disappointing.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, I'm sorry to have ended on such a downer. Do you know what? 59%
I'm crushed
is
now.
Not...
I'm crushed. Hey, there we go.
Well, I'm just going to say thank you very much.
An absolute pleasure. Any old time.
Jenny Eclair.
Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith was hosted by Margaret Caborn Smith and produced by Sophie Black. Thanks to everyone at the amazing TVC Soho. And if you enjoy the podcast, please remember to like and subscribe as it helps people find where we are.